Today's daf is Vachim Daf Kuf Tezayin, and we will begin about 20 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Tezayin Amud Aleph, the two dots. So the Gemara is discussing the halachis of bombas. So the Gemara brought a brisa that said that back in the day when kabbonis were brought on bombas before Matan Torah, it was tahorim avaloi tameim. So even though these kabbonis were not being brought in the Beis HaMikdash, but at the same time they had to conform to certain guidelines. There was a Shulchan Aruch of how a carbon was brought on a bama. One of the halachas was that only a carbon that was tahar, only a behema tahara was allowed to be brought on a bama, but a behema tmeya was not. A pashup shad is, a behema tahara is a kosher animal. A behema tmeya is a non-kosher animal. Frank the Gemara, the obvious question. Yeah, the tmeya mutahir, bahi shaita. We're discussing the Shas Heter bamas, which is before Matan Torah, before the Hakamas HaMishkan. At that point, there was no such thing as tahir mutmeya. There was no such thing as kosher and non-kosher. The whole idea of kosher is a novelty that came about b'shemat Shas Matan Torah. Amar Shulman Nechmeni, Rabbi Yenison, Mei Oison, She'asidin li tahir. That's the girsa of the Marsha. Enochanami, at that point, technically, there was no concept of kosher and non-kosher. But there were those in the know, and there were people that were aware that one day there would be a concept of kosher and non-kosher. And the idea that you're only allowed to bring a behema tahira was what will one day be a kosher animal that you're allowed to bring on a bama, but what will one day be a non-kosher animal that you're not allowed to bring on a bama. Frank to Gemara, but b'no havayadi. How did they know what was what? Rav Chizda says that when Noach was told to bring animals into the teva, so he was told that from the non-kosher animals take two, and from the kosher animals take seven. And the same question: how did Noach know what was kosher and what was non-kosher? Said Rav Chizda, Noach took all the animals and he brought them to the teva, and he told the animals to go in. Kol shateva kol tesai. If the animal took more than two piers, biyoduish v'tar. It was obvious that it was tar. Ein ateva kol tesam. But if the teva only took two, it didn't take more. It didn't take seven. So Noach knew. How did Noach knew? Havirun lefnei ateva. So there was a mesira. There was a mesira. What would one day be a kosher animal, and what would one day be a non-kosher animal? Rabbi Vo Amar Meha. He said a little bit differently. Amar Kol. The pasuk says v'habaim zachar unikeva. Habaim meileh. Noach didn't take all the animals, bring them to the teva, and then the teva, like the urim v'tumim, would somehow tell the animals, you to the right, you to the left, right? Exactly, who's going to survive, who's not going to survive? It can know what's a kosher animal, what's not a kosher animal. Rabbi Vo said the whole thing happened al pines. The animals got up by themselves. They went to the teva. Some went two, some went seven, if it was a kosher animal. But the point is that there was already a revelation of some sort of what was kosher, what was non-kosher. Thus, it was possible to have a halacha that on a bama, even before Matan Torah, tahirim avaloi tmei. What does tahirim mean? Kosher. What does tmeya mean? Non-kosher. You're only allowed to bring a kosher animal on a bama. How did they know? It's related to the story of Noach and the teva. Says the Gemara, Amar Mar, V'akol karvu oilos. All karbanos that were brought on bamos. Again, this is before Matan Torah, were oilos. Says the Gemara, oilos in shlavim loy. It seems pretty clear that only an oilo, as opposed to even a karbim shlavim. Faith, anyone has that possible? But Ksiv, the pasuk says, V'yizbechu zvachim shlavim lashem par. The context over there is Matan Torah. And by Matan Torah, the Yidin, in addition to everything else that went on, brought karbanos. And the pasuk says they brought karbonos shlomim. Now those karbonos that the Yidden brought b'shas Matan Torah, even though it was after Matan Torah, it was on a bomb, because the Mishkan wasn't going to be built until after the Chet Egel. That happened a little while later. Yom HaKamas HaMishkan was Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the following year. So at that point, these karbonos are being brought on a bama, and they're bringing a carbon shlomim. So how can you tell me on a bama you only that I bring a carbon oil? You can't bring a carbon shlomim. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Vayizbechu zvachim shlomim l'Hashem parim. And clearly we're talking about bamas because it's before the Mishkan, says the Gemara. Elohim, you have to say as follows. Hakol karvu oilois vishlomim. The animals were allowed to be either oilos or shlomim. Frank, the Gemara of Atanya, there's a mafurish, a brisa that says, avul shlomim loy kiem oilos. Meaning, the brisa that says, I call karvu oilos, you can add a word. Oilos vishlomim. Thus, you have no kasha from the fact that the Yidden brought on bamos b'shas Matan Torah karbon shlomim. The problem is another brisa. That brisa says, oilos avul loy shlomim. If it says havel loy shlomim, then there's no way to edit this brisa. You can't say and shlomim. The brisa says mefurish havel loy shlomim. Oy loy zin shlomim loy. The Gemara says command amalei karvu shlomim bnei noach. You have to say the brisayos are a little mishumash here, but pashim shot. What the Gemara is saying is you have to say there's a chilik between a yid that brought a carbon on a bama, and a benayach that brought a carbon on a bama. When we say actually hukam mishkan, when the carbonas were being brought on bamas, it was oilei sen avashlam and loy, that's referring to bnei noyach. But enachanami, a yid that brought a carbon on a bama, such as the yid of b'shas matan Torah, who brought carbonas, and the pasuk says clearly vayizbechu zvach and shlam and lashem, they could bring even a shlam. So what carbonas were brought on a bama? It depends. Are you Jewish or are you not Jewish? If you're a yid, it's oilei u'shlam. V'haraya the yidim b'shas matan Torah. When we say oilos in avul shlomim loy, that's referring to bnei noyach. Says the Gemara the itmar. But the truth is that whether or not bnei noyach were allowed to bring karbonos shlomim, which we're saying now they cannot, is really the subject of a machlokes tanam. Rabbi Loza Rabbi Yisrael Chanama one says karbu shlomim bnei noyach. That bnei noyach were allowed to bring karbonos shlomim. V'chadom aloy karbu. One said no. My time in the mandam a karbu. What's pshat? What's the makar to the mandam that says that a ben noyach was allowed to bring shlomim? It's presumably related to a makar in the Torah somewhere. What exactly is the makar? The chesed the pasuk says right in the beginning of Bereshis. The hevel hevi gamhu mi bechoyrois tzoynoi umi chel veyem. So Kayim brought a carbon. Hevel brought a carbon. Hashem accepted the carbon of Hevel. He didn't accept the carbon of Kayin. Kayin was jealous. Kayin kills Hevel. Ayeka. The rest is history. We'll see a little bit of raid about that in a few minutes. But for now, the pasuk says that Hevel brought a carbon. What was the carbon that he brought? It was mibechayreis tzaynai. It was a bechar. It was from the best, the choicest of his sheep, umeichel veyim, and of the fats. Says the Gemara Geshmak, Ezeu dover shechel bei karv legami mizbeach, ve'en kulei karv legami mizbeach, havei mizeh shlom. It can't be that it was a carbon oil. Because we're learning Masech Tezvachim now. We're 115 blot in. And we know that an oila was kulei kala, which means all the basar of the oila was burnt on the mizbeach. So if Ben Noyach was allowed to bring either an oila or a shlom in, so which carbon was Hevel's carbon? Was it an oila? Or was it a shlomim? It had to be a shlomim. It couldn't have been an oila. Because it says, Michel Veyev. If it was an oila, he wouldn't have just been makriv the chalev. He would have been makriv the entire animal. Thus, says the Gemara, it must be that it was a carbon shlomim. So the mandamah that says, even a ben noyach is allowed to bring a carbon shlomim, the raya is from Hevel. Hevel brought a carbon. It says clearly that what was he makriv chel Veyev? Couldn't have been an oila. Because if it was an oila, he would have been makriv the entire oila. And Hevel was definitely a ben noyach. Even the Mishlam Melech in Prashas Drach and Drush Aleph that discusses whether the others were Yisraelim or Bnei Noyach, I don't think he ever declared a Shiloh whether Hevel was a Bnei Noyach or not. Hevel was a Bnei Noyach. And still you see that he brought a carbon shlom, and thus this is the source of the Mandama that says that a Bnei Noyach can bring not only an oil, even a carbon shlom. My time in the Mandama, like carbon, what's the Mandama that says that a Bnei Noyach can only bring a carbon oil, he can't bring a carbon shlom? The Chesed also learned that from a Pasik in Shir HaShirim. It says, Uri Tzafoin Uva'u Seimon. So what does that Pasik mean? It says, the Gemara Tisnaher Uma Shemaseo Betzafen. Let the Uma whose carbonos are brought b'tzafon move, v'tavay umah shevaseh b'tzafon b'darim. Let the umah that brings carbonos in tzafon and darim enter. Who's moving? The umah yisraelim are moving. Who's entering? The yidden. So the umah yisraelim, and this pasuk, this very cryptic pasuk in Shir HaShirim, are referred to as an umah shekol maseh, all their carbonos are b'tzafon. What does that mean? Because they could only bring a carbon oil, and an oil is b'tzafon. The Klal Yisrael is referred to as an Ummah Shemasel Betzafin Ubedarim. The reason is because they're not limited to a carbon oil. They could also be a carbon shlomim. But the bottom line is, and you see from here, that a Ben Noyach is considered an Ummah Shemasel Betzafin. That's the number that holds a Ben Noyach. When they brought carbonos on a bamba, they were only allowed to bring a carbon oil. Freak the Gemara, Umar Nami Oksevim Michalvein. The man Omar that says that a Ben Noyach is not allowed to bring a carbon shlomim, I by Hevel, it says he brought Michalvein. Doesn't it sound like it was a shlomim? Says the Gemara, no. You know what it means? Misham Nehem. Chaveim over there doesn't mean the fats, the chelev, the part of the carbon shlomim, the one on the Mizbeach. It means the choicest part. He took the best part of the animal, and that's what he was makir. But we don't mean chelev in the carbon shlomim sense. Umar Nami, the man Omar that says that a Ben Noyach could bring a carbon Shlomim, I the pasuk oksiv uri tzafoin. Isn't uri tzafoin? Isn't the drush of that pasuk like the Gemara said? Let the nation shekol masel betzafoin move away. So the Gemara says, "Not what it means." Who be kibbutz galias with the chesiv? It's referring to kibbutz galias with all the nations of the world, the nations from tzafoin, from daroim, all the yidden that are living everywhere, scattered around. they're all going to come together and they're going to come up to Eretz Yisrael b'shas kibbutz goyos. Either way, it's not referring to an umma shemaseh b'tzav, and thus it has absolutely nothing to do with our shot. Afraid to gemara v'aksiv, but there's another pasuk. It says, "Vayemim Moshe gam atatidim biyadeinu zvachim va'oylois v'asim l'Hashem alikein." So that's when Moshe Rabbeinu is having his give and take with Paro. He's telling Paro, "Let my people go." Paro says, "No." He says, "Yeah." And then finally, Moshe says, "Not only do I want you to let us go, but I want you to give us cattle." Gam atatidim biyadeinu zvachim va'oylois. So that we should be able to bring karbanos. Now he asks for zvachim and oilos. Again, 115 glad in. Zvachim usually means shlamim. See, you see clearly that what? That Moshe Rabbeinu was going to bring a carbon shlamim. I thought they're benenayach. They're bringing these karbanos on bamos. So you see, isn't this a mafurish right? It's a pasuk in the Torah. How could there be a machlekes tanoim about something that's mafurish in a pasuk? So the Gemara says it's true. They wanted zvachim, but over here it was zvachim lachila va'olos lakrav. Zvachim in the context of kachim usually refers to as a shlamim, but over here it didn't mean in the let's have zvachim lachila so that we can enjoy our food oilois, which are kulay kolo, that's going to be 100% lahakrava. Break the gemara, not the kasha. Fuck it, but doesn't the pasuk say vayikach Yisroi choisin Moshe oilo uzvachim? Isn't there a pasuk that says that Yisroi took oilo uzvachim? Oilo again is an oilo uzvachim, presumably as a shlamim. Zok the gemara, it's true. Yisroi bought a carbon shlamim, but ahulach matan teira. But this happened already after matan teira. This isn't Yisroi the benayach before matan teira. This is all happening after matan teira. But the Gemara says, is that all Pashit? Did Yisroi come before Matan, after Matan Torah? Honey, Chalam Adam Yisroi Achim Matan Torah. Hi, El Adam Yisroi Ked Matan Torah. Hi, Man Yekalam Eimar. Did Tamar we learned? Benay Reb Chiyev Reb Yeshua Ben Leit. Chalam Adam once said Yisroi Ked Matan Torah. Chalam Adam Yisroi Achim Matan Torah. So it's a machloek. So Enochinami, if Yisroi came Lachim Matan Torah, this has nothing to do with our discussion. But if you all that Yisroi came before Matan Torah, it's a mafurish right that even before Matan Torah, on Bamis, even Bnei Noach were able to bring not only Oivos but even Shlomim. So the Gemara says you have no choice but to say Lamanda Amay Yisroi Ked Matan Torah. That according to Manama that holds that Yisroi came before. Before Matan Torah, he's going to hold that the Ben Noach was allowed to bring a carbon shlamim. Meaning, the machlekes whether a Ben Noach can only bring an oilah or he can even bring a shlamim is totally in the machlekes whether Yisra came before Matan Torah or came after Matan Torah. At first glance, the two machlekes then have absolutely, positively nothing to do with each other. One's a shayla. When did Yisroi come? What is a Shiloh? Could a Ben Noach on a Bama bring a Shlamim? Or is he limited? Is he only allowed to bring a Karban Oila? But says the Gemara, the truth is the two Machloikesen have no choice but to be totally Zebazet because Yisroi brought Shlamim. And if Yisroi came before Matan Torah, then you have a Raya that a Ben Noach is allowed to bring a Karban Shlamim XL. So the truth is the Gemara is going to digress now. And the Gemara is going to discuss Yisroi. So we're going to go from a discussion of Bnei Noach bringing karbanos on bamos, is it only oilois or is it oilois vishlamim? It has to do with Yisroi. Thus, the Gemara is going to have now a half amid Gemara, a classic Gemara with regards to Yisroi. But before we go weiter, so we didn't have that much of an opportunity to speak out divrei drush and divrei agada throughout Masech Zvachim. So at the end of Zvachim, tucked away, there's a little bit of agada, and this is one Gemara right here. But the Gemara mentioned the story of Cain and Hevel. And essentially, the Gemara brought a machlokes, had to understand the pasuk that describes Hevel's carbon. The pasuk says, "Vehevel gehevi gamhu mi bechayrois tzoynoi u'michel veyam." So we know that Hevel's carbon was tzoyn, it was a zevach, it was sheep. And then it says u'michel veyam. One man, it says chaveyam, means he brought a carbon shlam. And just like a shlamim, only the chaylev is kariv. And that's the emphasis over here. Mi bechayrois tzoynoi u'michel veyam, what he was bringing was a carbon shlam. Another man says, no, Mechaveya means he took the fattiest part of the carbon. Take a look at Targum Unkelus, that's what Unkelus says. Afhu, he also brought a carbon, Hevel, mi bakire one, umisham inhoi. He took from the fat, he took from the fatty part of the carbon, that's exactly what he brought. It's interesting, Rashi says that it was precisely the fact that Hevel took Mechaveya, according to the second shot, he took the fatty part of the animal, that his carbon was answered. And Cain, however, when he brought his carbon, he didn't take the choicest part, and it's for that reason that Cain's carbon was not accepted. So again, we're familiar with these psukim, but it's kedai to say the psukim again. Pasuk says that Adam and Chava gave birth to two sons, Cain and Hevel. Vayimi ketzi amin, vayovi Cain mi priya adama minchal Hashem. Cain took mi priya adama, and he brought a minchal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vehevel hevi gam hu mi p'chayre sayna. Hevel did the same thing. Hevel also brought a carbon. His carbon was mi b'chayre sayna. It wasn't mi priya adama, but rather it was mipchayra sinai umechel vehem, like we just saw. Vayisha Hashem el hevel ve'el minchas. Hashem accepted the mincha of hevel, but ve'el kain el minchas loisha. But Hashem did not accept the carbon mincha. He didn't accept the carbon of kain. Vayichar lekain ma'oy. Kain was very disappointed. He was angry. Vayiplu panav. Vayomer Hashem el kain. Hashem comes to kain. Lo v'char alach. The end of the story is kain ends up killing hevel. Hashem comes to Cain and he says, "I have a lochicha." Vayomer lo yodati. Hashem er ochi anoichi. Vayomer meo sees a cold me ochicha tzoyik in a lime in a adamo. Cain ends up getting it first. Either way, Cain and Hevel both bring karbanos. Cain's carbon was mipri adamo. Hevel's carbon was mipchayrus sinai. Hevel's carbon was accepted. Cain's wasn't. Cain got jealous. He ends up killing Hevel. Very nice story. The problem is, what's missing is why did Hashem accept the carbon of Hevel, and why did Hashem not accept the carbon of Cain? Pashup Shana in the Pasuk, it's not clear. And the emphasis, you would think at first glance that it's probably related to the fact that Cain's was Mipri Adama, and Hevel's was Tzayin, and maybe Tzayin, a sheep, is more chashuv than fruit. Right? That's probably what Pashup Shana is. But the emphasis is that if you read the Pasuk beforehand, there seems to be a little insight as to why Cain brought me Pri Adam and Hevel brought me Pri Rishayne. Pasuk says, "Va'toisev lo ledes es ochev es hovel." Va'hi Hevel royet zayin. V'Cain hayoyved Adam. So what did Hevel do for a living? He was a royet zayin. What did Cain do for a living? He was an oyved Adam. So Pashup Shad, Hevel was a royet zayin. So what was he going to give Hakadosh Baruch Hu? His trumas of ma'isus was going to be zayin. Cain is an oyved Adam. So when it came time for him to give a gift to Hashem, what's his trumas of ma'isus? It was going to be me pri Adam. So what did Cain do? This is what he does for a living. What do you want him to do? He should bring tzayin. He doesn't have tzayin. This is what he is. He's an oyved Adam. So he took from what he does his hard earned money and he brought a carbon like Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hevel took me pri. That's what he did for a living. He was a royet zayin. That means Rashi asks the kasha, and Rashi says, you have to say that just like the Torah says that when Hevel brought his carbon, he took Mechel Vehem. And like the Targum teaches, what does it mean? Umisham Inhoin. He took from the best part of his son. He didn't just take Tzoyin. He took from the best part of his son. When Kyle took his carbon, says Rashi Mipri Adama Min HaGorua. He took the worst Peres that he had. Yesha Kodesh HaMeres, says Rashi, Zera Pishton Hoya. It was Pishton. That's what it was. See, he didn't take Mechel Vehem. Hevel took Michal Vayim. It's for that reason that his carbon was accepted. Cain did not take Michal Vayim. It's for that reason that his carbon was not accepted. It's interesting, Rabbeinu Bachya says on this pasuk right here that we just had a Gemara. The Gemara discussed Hevel's carbon. Was it a carbon Shlomim or was it a carbon Oyla? And it says, if you read the pasuk seems to have a third carbon. The pasuk says, Vayihi miketz yomim, vayovi kayim mipri adama mincha l'ashem. The Hevel Hevi Gamhu Mipchiris Savin Michaveh, by Yisha Shemel Hevel, the El Minchasoi, the El Kayin, the El Minchasoi, three times in the Torah. So it sounds like it wasn't a Shlomim. It was really a carbon mincha. Interesting. But either way, Rabbeinu Bachya says something interesting. He says that there's a medrash that says that Hevel and Kayin were 50 days old when this happened. So you want to know how long Hevel lived? He lived 50 days. 50 days he was on planet Earth, and then Cain went ahead and killed him. Says Rabbeinu Bachya that he thinks there's a remez noira in this idea. It's not just rant, it's a fun fact that Hevel was 50. How old was Hevel? 50 days old. Okay, interesting. In a time where people lived 1,000 years, 50 days is not a lot of time. But he lived 50 days, right? That's what he lived. But it's interesting, says Rabbeinu Bachya, that I could be that this is the reason that every year, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, the Yidin, on Shavuos, on Yom Ha'atzeres, they would bring a Shtei HaLechem. The Shtei HaLechem was a Karbon Mincha. They would bring it 50 days after Pesach. Tisbru Chamishim Yoim. And then they would go, we count 49 days, and on the 50th day, which is Shavuos, we bring a Karbon Mincha. You know why we bring a Karbon Mincha on the 50th day? It's a remez to the Yoim Chamishim of Cain and Hevel's lives, where they too brought a Karbon Mincha. So Keneged the Mincha of Cain v'Hevel, we go ahead and we bring the Karbon Mincha. Then Rabbeinu Bachya says, Ray, that's above my pay grade, where he says that this was a schar for Hevel, that Hevel was rewarded. Hevel brings a carbon. Hashem accepted his carbon. And 5 seconds later, what was Hevel's matan schar b'tzidi? He was butchered. He was killed. Stating that, says Rabbeinu Bachya, got a reward. His reward was that Yidin would always bring a Karbon Mincha, a Shtei Alechem, on Shavuos. And the reason we do it is not to commemorate Cain's Mincha, it's more to commemorate Hevel's Mincha. Either way, Ayin Shom Rabbeinu Bachi says Dvarim Neflam, but Hevel and Cain were 50 days old. Their carbon was referred to, even though our Gemara says Oylin Shlomim, but says the Gemara was really a Mincha. That's what the Torah refers to it. It was a Mincha, and Keneged that, Tisbru Chamishim Yoyim, and then we too, we bring a Mincha Chadash al Hashem. That's what the Shtei Alechem is. It's essentially a carbon Mincha. The Chassam Sofer on this Pasuk where the pasuk talks about how Vayesha Hashem El Hevel V'Minchasoi Ve'El Minchasoi V'Alkayim V'Minchasoi Lo Yisha. Says the Chassam Sofer, B'tchilas Torah Seinu Akdoisha. This is mamish the beginning. This is literally the beginning of the Sefer Torah. Nasamanu Makam Lohiris Darach Hashem Yisbarach. Kadosh Baruch was teaching us a lesson on how this world works. Says the Chassam Sofer that the story of Cain and Hevel is a very, very valuable lesson. He says why? Because at first glance, it sounds like the good guy lost and the bad guy persevered. Hevel was the good guy. He brought the right carbon. Hashem accepted Hevel's carbon. Cain was willing to bring a carbon to Hashem, but he took Minagrua. He took Zerah Pishton. What ends up happening? Hevel dies, doesn't make it past day 50, and Cain lived. He saw Dairis. That's what ended up happening to Cain. So at first glance, it sounds like that the bad person, the one that did the Averu, the Rasha, was the one who was a Rasha of the Tavloi. And it was a Tzadik Virala. But says the Chassam Sofer, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. The rest of the story is that the world got completely wiped out at the time of the Mabul. And who survived the Mabul? Noach. Noach wasn't a descendant of Hevel. Noach wasn't a descendant of Cain. Noach was a descendant of Adam Rishon's third son, his son Shes. So the emesis says, the Chassam Sofer, that even though at first glance it looked like Cain was going to be Zeicha to see Dairis Yesharim and Mavairach, he was having Nafkas Ben Mazainikloch. But the truth is that if you knew the whole picture, you would know that Cain wasn't going to see so much Nachas. Because Cain's Nachas was going to have an expiration date. It was going to go up until the Mabul. But then at the time of the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Nichamti, I have Charata. He wipes out all of mankind. The only person he saves is Noach. And Noach is Shes. But what does that have to do with Hevel? Says the Chassam Sofer that Hevel was Nisgalgo in Shes. That Adam HaRishon was 130 years old when he gave birth to Hevel. And the Neshama, when he gave birth to Shes. And the Neshama of Shes was really the Neshama of Hevel. So that means that Hevel's neshama, which at first glance looked like got nothing, it ends up coming back. It's reincarnated. It's reincarnated in Shes. Noach comes from Shes. He doesn't come from Cain. So everything, the whole Hemshach, ends up coming from Hevel. It doesn't end up coming from Cain. But says the Chassam Sofer, it's really even more than that. Because the truth is that this neshama that was originally Hevel's, then was Shes, would be reincarnated a third time, and the third reincarnation was Noach. And Noach himself is the one that rebuilt the Yishuv. And says the Chassam Sofer, the truth is, it was really going to be reincarnated a fourth time. And the fourth time was going to be Moshe. So this one neshama starts off at Hevel. It's Hevel, it's Shes, it's Noach, it's Moshe. The Chassam Sofer says it's Osius neshama above our pay grade. It's Osius neshama. But the bottom line is, at first glance, you read the story, it looks like Hevel, the good guy, gets butchered after 50 days. And Cain sees Dairis Yishayim and Mavarech. And it was just the opposite. Cain ends up losing everything. Hevel ends up getting the neshama of Shes, and he's Noach, and he's Moshe, so this neshama kedosh of Hevel ends up being an unbelievable contributor to Klal Yisrael, as opposed to Cain that comes and goes, and he's part of that Daira Mabul that was completely wiped off the face of the earth, that Hashem says he regretted he ever created. Either way, a little bit of the rest of the story. Another honor? Yeah, I'll speak out one more.
Carbon at 50 days. Carbon, I don't have a problem with them killing each other at 50 days. I'm saying, carbon at 50 days?
Interesting. Listen, this is, it was different times. I'll tell you just one other ha'ara, and that is, I saw the Ksav Sofer says something beautiful. The Pasuk says, the Hevel Hevi Gamhu Mibchayr Sayyidah. What's Gamhu? Gamhu? He also, what's the word Gam? No extra. Right at the beginning of the Torah, you have an extra word here. Gamhu? What does Gamhu mean? Says the Chassam Sofer that the truth is, very often, the Ksav Sofer, says the Chassam Sofer, very often people give tzedakah. Really, they don't want to give tzedakah. They give tzedakah because of peer pressure. So they see that one person did, all right, I don't have a choice, I'll match you, or whatever it is. Right? So you have all these, but the point is that people give not because they want to give. It's not necessarily coming in nidvas libam, but rather they're just copycats. They see what the other person does, and maybe it's social pressures or whatever it might be. And the bottom is they end up doing the same thing. So the Torah says, first Cain brought a carbon, then Hevel brought a carbon. You could have had a havamina that Hevel's whole carbon was just, listen, my brother did it. What am I going to? I'm not going to bring a carbon. What's it going to make me look like? So I better do the same thing. So that's what Torah is coming to emphasize. The Hevel Hevi Gamhu, that just like Cain brought a carbon, Hevel also brought a carbon. He wasn't copying Cain. No. He was bringing the carbon in the same exact vein that Cain was bringing the carbon. Hashtag peer pressure. But either way, says the Gemara Vaitas. Again, we're discussing Bamos. Bnei Noach, Oilois, Shlomim, Mincha, Kayin, Hevel, it's Leibedik. The Gemara from there digressed into Yisrei specifically. When exactly did Yisrei come? When did Yisrei arrive at the scene? Now, the truth is that if you open up a Chumash, it doesn't seem to be so ambiguous. It seems to be pretty clear. When did Yisrei arrive on the scene? It's right in the end, right? After Parashas Beshalach, which is Melchemes Amalek, Kriyas Yamsuf, and then, yeah, Vayishma Yisrei. So what's the Shaila? And the Frat, there's a man that says that Yisrei came after Matan Torah. I mean, the Parshas Yisrei begins with the story of Yisrei, and then Matan Torah is for Shishi, I think, right? It's later in the Parsha. So how exactly could there even be a Shaila? Zok the Gemara Ketanoi, it's really Mechalek Ketanoim. Vayishma Yisrei Koyim Midyon, Mashmu Shoma Ubov, in Eskaya, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Shua says Melchemes Amalek Shoma. How does he know? He says, what it means, he was being Mavasedra. Sharik said, Betzidoi. It says, Vayechla, Yeshua, Zamalek, Vasamal, Vichara. And right afterwards, it says, Vayishma Yisrei. So the juxtaposition between the end of Parshas Beshalach and the beginning of Parshas Yisrei would seem very, very clear that that's when Yisrei came. Says the Gemara, plus my doyem, no, Matan Torah Shama, but he really came after Matan Torah. And like the Ramban speaks out, it's Pirush Al Torah, you have to say, Ein Muktim Umu'ucher Batoira, says the Gemara. And what's the rest of the story? Shekishenit, the Torah Yisrael. Because when the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, Hayakoyle, Hoylech, Misoifa, Ilamat Soifa, the Koyle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu went Misoifa, Ilamat Soifa, the Chol Malchi Oivde Kechavim, Achzason Ro Adabehechaleim. And when the Malchi Oivde Kechavim heard the Koyle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, these were the Koyles of Arsina, they got very, very scared. And what did they do? Vamru Shira, they started singing to Hashem. They were spooked. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ubehechaloi, Kuloi, Oivde. And they all came and they gathered to Bilam Arasha. They told him, what are these noises? This is scary. Bilam, tell me, is this going to be a Mabel? Amalemi told him, no Mabel. Hashem Lamabel Yashav. In other words, Hashem swore raised never gonna be another Mabel. Can't be a Mabel. So they were chacham. They said, Mabel, maybe. It's really the Archaim HaKadosh's Kasha. When Hashem swore that he's not going to bring a Mabel, did he mean only a Mabel Shomayim? Or did he mean even a Mabel Shalish? So they came now with the other side of Narachayim Shiloh. Maybe it's only Mabel Shomayim. Avo Mabel Shomayish, maybe. Shenemek Hine Be'esh Hashem Nishmat. This psukim in Tanakh that seemed to suggest that Hashem will judge the world with Esh. Maybe it's because he swore he won't bring a Mabel Shomayim, but a Mabel Shalish he will be. Among them, he told him, Kfar Nishba, Sheiri Machkas Kobas. No. Bilam said Hashem swore he's never going to destroy mankind. They said, if so, Makoy Lamayna Zeshashamanu. So what are we hearing? Among them, he told Chem de Tevil Yesh Levi's Knos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chem de Ketova, it's been hiding. Etzloi tough kuf ayin dalu doyros koydim shenivra olam for 974 years before Brios Olam. Bikash shen levanov, and the time has come to give it to his son. So it was 974 years before Brios Olam. This was 26 generations later, says Rashi. Together, it's elef dor. That this is the 1,000 generations from when the Torah was created, whatever that means, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually give the Torah. But either way, says Bilam, you want to know what these koilas are? Hashem is taking a chem de genusa, something that's been hidden for 974 generations, and he's finally giving it to man. He's giving it to Klal Yisrael. Shenem Hashem oizli amayitein, and oiz over here means the Torah. Miyad, when they heard that paschu, kulam amru, they got up and they said, Hashem yivarech es amay bashalom. So these psukim that the Gemara brought are rather familiar, right? Usually when the Gemara brings psukim in the Gemara, we've never heard the psukim. But these psukim you're familiar with. Hashem lamabu yoshev, vayeshev Hashem melech liyoylam, Hashem oiz lamo yitein, Hashem yivarech es amay bashalom. We say it in davening many times on Shabbos. And really, this is Tehillim, Perek Chavtes. Until Perek Chavtes begins, Mizmor LeDavid, Havu LaHashem Bnei Elim, Havu LaHashem Kovid VaOiz. And then the pasuk says, Kol LaHashem Alamayim, Kol LaHashem BaKoyach, Kol LaHashem BaHador, Kol LaHashem Shover Arozim, Kol LaHashem Chutzim LaAviseish, Kol LaHashem Yachol Midbar, Yachol LaHashem Midbar Kodesh, Kol LaHashem Yichayle LaYolas. So what were these kolos? Kol LaHashem, Kol LaHashem, Kol LaHashem. Now you know the rest of the story. All these kolos was referring to the kolos of Maimon Har Sinai. But listen. Now, how beautiful the pasuk reads in light of what the Gemara just said. So, koil, there were tremendous koilas going on b'shas Maimon Har Sinai. What happened? Ubei chaloi kulo yomer kavoi. The Malchi Ev, the Kechavim heard these koilas, and they were scared. And what did they do? They began to sing Shira. And they ran to Bilam, and they told Bilam the next words. Hashem la Mabel Yashav, bitmiya. Is that what's going on? Hashem is bringing another Mabel. Bilam said no. Vayeshev Hashem Melech Loil. Hashem swore he's going to be a Melech Loil. They'll never destroy the world again. It's never going to happen. That Abamul Shamayim and Abamul Shalish. So he said, if so, what's going on? So he told him, Hashem Oiz Lama Yitein. Hashem is taking Oiz in Oiz Al Torah. When they heard that, they said, Hashem Yevarech Hasam Basholim. They gave brachas to the Yidden. We got brachas from all the pagan kings. But the bottom line is, that is the rest. That's Pshat in this pasuk. That's Tehillim Perichav Tes. The koilos, koil Hashem, koil Hashem, koil Hashem. What is that referring to? The koilos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Tehillim Perichav Tes are referring to the koilos Mayim and Arsinai. Either way, a little bit more Gemara, and then we'll speak out a lot of more rate. Either way, it says the Gemara, a third sheet of Rabbi Lazar says, Kriyas Yamsuf Shamau Ba, that you want to know what Yisrael heard. It wasn't Mechamas HaMolek. It wasn't Mayim and Harsina. What it was Kriyas Yamsuf. Shanem Vahikah Shmoya Kom Alchi Amor. The pasuk says, Yeshua Perakeh, it describes the reaction that the Malchei HaMoiri had when they heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. So you see that the world was very afraid of Kriyas Yamsuf. Yisrael was included. Yisrael heard it, and he did something about it. Yisrael didn't just hear, they heard it, and that's why he ran, and he was Dafkin that was Megayer. Says the Gemara, Rachav HaZayin, Amar L'Shluchi Yeshua. Rachav HaZayin said the same thing to Shluchi Yeshua. When the Shluchim, when Yeshua sent his Meraglim to go into Eretz Yisrael, said they come to Rachav, and Rachav gives her description of the events of Kriyas Yamsuf and how it took place. And she tells the Meraglim, Kishamanu es asher hovish Hashem es mei Yamsuf. She too talks about, we heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, and we heard about what an unbelievable event it was. You see, it was a very big deal. Yisrael heard that. That's why Yisrael came. Frank the Gemara, Maishna Hasam da'am avalehoya bam oidruach. Maishna Hagar da'kam avalekama oidruach bish. Why isn't Yeshua Perakei, when Yeshua ben Nun himself wrote, say for Yeshua, and he describes what happened, say he wrote that we heard that people didn't have a ruach. When Rachav gave her account of the reaction of the people to the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, she added a word. She said, "V'loy kama oid ruach." Why did she add the word kama? Says the Gemara, "The filak shuri namaloy aksho." What she was referring to was not that they physically couldn't stand, but rather the kama over there is referring to the kishui ever of the ever tashvich. And she said that they couldn't have any kishui ever. If anyone knows, how did she know? So the Gemara, "Damamar in the chol kol sar v'nogin shloy ba ruachav azayna," because Rachav was a zayna. That's how she knew. In fact, every sar and every nugget in Canaan had been boil. Rachav Amr Chazal say, "Bas she was 10 years old when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, and she was Mazana for 40 years. At the end of the, when she turned 50, Neskaira, she was Megayer Amr. She said, she should have Mechila Beschar Chevel Chaloinu Pishtim. Those were the three things that she used to do Averis. She used those same three things now to save the Meraglim. And it's for that reason she felt, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says she davened to Hashem that the averis that I did with these three things should have mechila with the mitzvah that I just did with the very same three things. Either way, before we go weiter, just two horas. Number one, so we have machlokes in the Gemara, Vayishma Yisrael. What exactly did the Yisrael hear? One man says he heard Mechamas Hamolek. Another man says he heard Mayim Har Sinai. Vayishma Yisrael is before Mayim Har Sinai. And Mukta Mamocha Batar. Third man says, what he heard was Milchemes, he heard Kriyas Yamsuf. Take a look at Rashi. So what does Rashi and Chumash say? Vayishma Yisrael. First Rashi in Parashas Yisrael. Mashmu Shamahuba, Kriyas Yamsuf, Milchemes Amalek. So Rashi makes a little bit of a chalot. Rashi takes two pshat. Rashi takes the third pshat and the first pshat. Kriyas Yamsuf, that was the third pshat the Gemara brought. Milchemes Amalek. And that's the first pshat of the Gemara brought. So, Chasam Sof is bothered a little bit. He asks it on Rashi. It's not going on the Gemara in Zvachim, but on Rashi. Rashi says it was Kriyas Yamsuf, Umelchemes Amalek. And he says that if Yisrael was impressed with Kriyas Yamsuf, why did he come right after Kriyas Yamsuf? Why do you have to wait until Milchemes Amalek? It was Kriyas Yamsuf, Umelchemes Amalek. Right? Kriyas Yamsuf itself wasn't enough. First came Kriyas Yamsuf, then came Milchemes Amalek. It sounds like it was Kriyas Yamsuf, but it was also Milchemes Amalek. And as if to say, one without the other somehow wouldn't have gotten Yisrael to come. It was Dafka the fact that he had heard of Kriyas Yamsuf, and then he had heard of Milchemes Amalek. Again, it doesn't stim with our Gemara. But that's what Rashi says. It was those two things. It was because of those two things that Yisrael ultimately ended up coming. As I pray to Chasam Sofer, I didn't show to Chasam Sofer, he says a Mahalach. But I was thinking, maybe you could say as follows. Lule de Mistafina. We know that Chazal describe Amalek as Asher Karcha Baderech. What does it mean, Asher Karcha Baderech? So Rashi says in Parashas Kiseitze that Amalek made the waters of Klal Yisrael cold. So when the Yid left Mitzrayim, they were Nisim and they were Neflois. We just learned the Gemara now. Kriyas Yamsuf, Rachav HaZayna. Everybody had heard about this. All the Malchi Amayri, everybody was spooked from the Jews. They had all heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, and everybody was afraid. We say it in Oz Yosh. Chiloch HaZayishvei Palashas, Oz Nivalu Alufay Edoim, Eilei Moiv Yechizei Meirah, Namayku Koyeshv Kenon, Tipal Alevei Masav HaFachad, right? You get the gist, right? It's Yira and Yira and Pachad. That's what was going on after Kriyas Yamsuf. And at that point, the Jews were considered to be 100% untouchable. Nobody was going to start up with the Jews. Until Amalek came. Amalek came, they started up with the Jews. And say Chazal, and Rashi brings in Chumash, that even though Amalek got burnt, but at the same time, they cooled off the waters for everybody else. Meaning, before Amalek chepped with the Yidden were considered to be untouchable. Nobody was going to go near them. People were afraid of them. There was a certain Yira that people had in Klaisra. I mean, the people had Yira from, nobody was going to start off with them until Amalek came. Amalek showed it's doable. And even though they lost, even though they got burnt, literally, in Rashi's muscle, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, they themselves showed that the Jews could be. This, what was once thought to be unfathomable, inconceivable, how are you going to start up with a nation for whom God just split the sea? And God created all these plagues in Egypt to miraculously take this nation out of its right. I hear. But they showed it's doable. Once you see something as doable, it makes it more doable for the next person. So I think it could be Yisroi had the same year for Klal Yisroel. Yisroi heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, but just like the nations of the world didn't want to start up with the Jews, Yisroi wasn't going to go there either. And whereas for everybody else it was a Yira in the sense of a Yira Sa'inish, for Yisroi maybe it was a Yira Sa'inish. But the point is, there was a Yira. He was afraid. He got it. He understood what was going on. But at the same time, he was afraid to come too close. You know, it's interesting. The Chasam Sofer says that it could be Yisrael after Kriyas Yamsuf. He was Megayer, but he stayed back home. He didn't want to come to the Jews. This Gevaldik, he was afraid. They were untouchable. What happened? Chemes Amalek. Amalek came. He cooled off the waters. He cooled off the waters for the enemies of the Jews. Now they were comfortable chepping with the Yidden. And he cooled off the waters for people like Yisroi. Now they were comfortable coming. They were comfortable shtelling too. Till now there was a Yira. Not a Yira. So, not this Yira that's described in Arsh Yashar. The Yira that Rochav HaZayinu was referring to. A Yira Saraimus. But the bottom line, a Yira nonetheless. So you want to know what caused Yisroi to be Megayer? It was Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf was what did it. But for Kriyas Yamsuf alone, he wouldn't have cared, because he would have been afraid. It was after Mechemes Amalek. Amalek came, and they asher karcha baderech. Now he's comfortable. Now the Jews are, so to speak, touchable. Now he came. Either way, that's the connection. That's Kriyas Yamsuf, Mechemes Amalek. That's the first R. Second R is Gemara, Mesechtes Erevin, Daf Nun Dal Ramadal. The Gemara over there says, it says, regarding the Luchas, V'hanichtav michtav elikim, charos ala Luchas. Says the Gemara, Atikrei, charos elocheros. And the Gemara darshins, Amalei le'neshtab Luchas harishoinois, had the Luchas harishoinois not been destroyed, ein kol uma v'loshen sheletes behem. There's no nation in the world that would have started up with the Yidden. Shenemar charos, al tikrei charos, elocheros. So had the Yidden had the Luchas harishoinois, the Umas would not have started up with the Jews. The Jews, we would have been untouchable. We would have never gone to Gauls. There would have been no Churban Bayis. Enough. There wouldn't have been Bavel, not Nebuchadnezzar, not Parasamadeh, not Daryavish, not Kairish. Nobody. Not Titus, not Hadrian, not Vespasian. We would have been untouchable. Ein kol umma v'loshay, not the Nazis, the Machshama. Nobody would have started up with us because we don't have the Luchas HaRishonos. Now that there's no Luchas HaRishonos, now all of a sudden we're fear game. And all the tsaris, the millennia of tsaris that the Jews have had to suffer through, it all came about because of the Shefiras HaLuchas. And it's pretty obvious that the Gemara Sasa, what does Shefiras HaLuchas have to do with now all of a sudden the Jews became vulnerable? Had we not lost the Luchais, ein kol uma v'loshen sheletes. So I was thinking as follows. We just learned the Gemara. The Gemara says that b'shoshen it neteir liYisrael. When the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, the malchei uma yisraelim heard koilos. The koilos that are described in Tehillim Perichav Tes that we say when we put the Sefer Torah away in Shabbos and davening. It was koil Hashem b'koyach, koil Hashem b'hador, koil Hashem shever arazim. Those koilos were referring to the koilos of Maimon Har Sinai. And what was the Umay Sa'ilim's reaction when they heard those koilos? They were very, very afraid. And they thought that maybe there's a Mabul that's coming to the world. And even though Hashem swore there's no Mabul Shomayim, maybe it's a Mabul Tilfilim. Finally calm them down. Hashem, all it is the Torah. This doesn't affect you. Hashem just bringing the Torah. But the bottom line is, you have nothing to worry about. The Jews will deal with it, but this is not your problem. But the bottom line is, so that's what's going on. Hashem Oisle Amayite. But they were afraid. You see the koilas of Maimon Har Sinai, made them very, very afraid. One of the koilas that we say in Tehillim Perek Chav Tes is Koil Hashem Chaytzev LaHavishesh. What does it mean? The koil of Hashem was choytzev lahavishesh. So, okay, look at Rashi. It's referring again to the koil of Maimed Arsi. And Shayadibur, Shalaseres Hadibris, Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he spoke the words of Aseres Hadibris, they were yoytzev lahavish esh mipiv. They left his mouth, kaviyochel, belahavish esh, via flam fire, the nechkak ala luchais, and they went on the luchais ketavnis. So, you wonder how the luchais were written? The luchais were michtav alikim. Had Hashem write the luchas? This is all kaviyochel. But had it even in the world of kaviyochel, Hashem write the luchas? It wasn't with the yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't with Hashem's yamin. You know, the luchas were written with the peh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem spoke the koilos. Those koilos were chaytsev lahavisesh. They were chaytsev. They engraved the stones. And that's how we got the luchas. The luchais were an embodiment of the koil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I saw a mimer once for Reb Shmuel Yankov, Zichet Tzadik L'Bracha. He said that maybe that's an oimik pnimi in the idea of a cholam raim as a koilas. What does it mean they were raim as a koilas? Because the michtav alekim that was written on the luchais was the koil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Rashi in Tehillim. Koil Hashem choytzev lahav esesh. Either way, I was thinking. Umoli lo nishtabru haluchais. You know what we would have had? We would have had the koil Hashem choytzev lahav esesh. We would have had the koil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us. L'dayrei dayrei. What's the koil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's the Gemara we just learned. The koil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Chilu Ra'ada Achazasam. It was a koil that brought fear into the hearts of all the Umay Sa'ilam. Had we still had the Luchais HaRishonos, we would have the koilos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'd have the koil Hashem Choyvitz Lahavisesh. This Gemara, in Masech Tzvach, in Daf Kuf Tezayin Amar Aleph, this Agadah, the Gemara that's tucked away in the middle of all the Kachim, we would have with us every single moment of every single day. If that's the case, ain kol uma v'loshen shaletes. I think it's half of a fella. Either way, the Gemara vayter. We now return to our regular program, which is vachem. Says the Gemara, Amar ma, ivik kechavim bezman hazeh rasham. Last week's getting a goy bezman hazeh is allowed to bring a shkoich. Is allowed to bring a carbon on a bum. Says the Gemara, not immediately. How do you know that? You know, Yid's not allowed to bring a carbon on a bum today. When there was a shas het to bamas, he was allowed to. But now that there's no shas het to bamas, he's not allowed to anymore. Stating that a guy is allowed to. Zok to Gemara, how do you know that? The Tanur Rabbanan, Tabra b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, mitzvah v'nal shkut echutz, v'ein ev dikacham mitzvah v'nal shkut echutz. The Torah prefaces the parish of shkut echutz with Tabra b'nei Yisrael to teach us that it's only B'nai Yisrael that have the mitzvah of Shchut Echotz, but the Umay Sa'olim don't have Shchut Echotz. Says the Gemara, L'fichach, it's for that reason, called Echad ve'echad, boina loy banma la'atzmai, umakru v'lai, kol ma'asher yeretz, if the guy wants, he can build a banma, and he can bring a carbon. Amrab Yaakov Aracha, Amrab Asi, also l'say. It's also for a yid to help a guy bring a carbon. V'lasa shlichusam, and it's also also for us to be a shliach for them. Amar Rabba, Rabba said, Uloy rinu l'shar, stating that, if you want to guide them, if you want to sit down and help the guy along, that's okay. I mean, you can't physically help him, but the paskin for him, that's something you're allowed to do. How do we know that? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you a Meiser Shahaya, a Meiser Rav, called the Ifra Urmiz, Imidish from Malk. Ifra Urmiz was the mother of Shvar Malk. She had the carbon to the Rava. She sent the carbon to Rava. She wanted advice from Rava how to bring this carbon. Sholchale. So she said, Askua, Nahale, the Shem Shemaim, right? She wanted to bring it as a carbon. Amalusis, the Rav Safra, the Rav Barhun. So Rava went. And he told Rav Safra and Rav Acher Bar Huna, Zilu v'dabu trei u'miguloi. Go take two boys, Rashi says, that are the same age. Interesting, Rashi. L'chu k'chu shnei oivdei k'chavim bachurim. Take two goyim, because the yid can't bring this carbon. B'nei gil echad, that they are the same age. Shekein noi v'dov. Why do they have to be the same age? Take two people that are very similar. It's noi. It's nice for a carbon to be brought by two people that are the same age. Maybe this is a little bit of a beer, an additional beer, and why the Shnei Seirim on Yom Kippur had to be exactly alike. Sounds like there's some hidur in the mitzvah. Shekein noy ledover, says Rashi, for the two bacharim that are going to bring this carbon to be very much alike. Either way, v'chazu heichad maski yom asirut, go to a part of the yam where you can get fertile land. Rashi says, land that no one ever did anything with. V'shiklu tzivi chadeti, take new wood. V'afiku nura mimara chadeta, and make fire from a new pan. V'asku na'le l'shem shemayim, go bring L'Shem Shemayim. Either way, Rava wasn't going to bring this carbon, but at the same time, Rava helped Imei the Shvar Malka bring the carbon, and he gave her a whole Shulchan Aruch of exactly how this carbon should be brought. So you see that even that number one, a guy, Bizman Azeh, is allowed to bring a carbon on a bump. A Yid is allowed to advise, but at the same time, you can't be hands-on. So you could be party on an advisory capacity, but to actually get involved and to bring the carbon and to chop the wood, sounds like that's already something that you would not allowed, be allowed to do. The Gemara says, Derech Agra, from the way Rava told Imidishvar Malka to bring this carbon, you see a halacha. Amalei Abaye, come on, Rabbelezman Shemua. The way he described it is like Rabbelezman Shemua said in a price. What's this price? So the Tanya, Rabbelezman Shemua, Eimer Ma Mizbeach Shlo Yishtamish Bayhedyet, just like a Mizbeach has to be fresh, it has to be a Mizbeach Shlo Yishtamish Bayhedyet, right? You can't take a Mizbeach that a Hedyet used already and use it now to bring a carbon. So too the Eitzim that were brought every day on the Mizbeach, the Atzim Aracha, had to be Eitzim Shlo Yishtamish Bem Hedyet. Where do you see that? From Rabbi Lazman Shemua said, Rabbi Lazman Shemua needed the Mizbeach that was going to be used for Obama to be fresh, but also the Eitzim Chadati, he said, take fresh wood. Why fresh wood? Because you can't use recycled wood. Can't use recycled wood as a carbon. But the Gemara says, how could that be pshat? From Maida Rabbi Lazman Shemua b'Obama, Rabbi Lazman Shemua himself was Maida by Obama. Meaning even Rabbi Lazman Shemua said that the Atzim Aracha had to be fresh wood, but he only said it regarding the wood that was going to go on the Mizbeach. But by Obama, he's Maida. I really into the price because of Echlem 1 Pasuk says, Ve'itin David la'arnon b'makoyim shikle zahav mishkal sheish mitz. The context over there is when David HaMelech goes to Arnon, and what does he buy from Arnon? The Harabayas. Right, David HaMelech buys the Harabayas. And the history of it is, why did he buy the Harabayas? The initial reason he bought it was because there was a Magefa, David counted the Jews, Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, and David goes and is realizes something has to happen. So Hashem sends the Navi to David and tells David, that bring karbonos, and if you're going to bring karbonos, the magef is going to start. Stop. So David goes, he buys a plot of land. He buys it from Arnon, also known as Arav, no, Aroina. So he buys it from Arnon, and how much did he pay for it? He paid sheish meyos shekel kesef. And there's another pasuk that says, Vayikin David es hagoyrim ves habasar bekesef shkolim chamish. Okay, it's a stira. One pasuk says he paid 600 shkolim. Another pasuk says he paid 50 shkolim. Says the Gemara, goyvim mikol shevet shevet chamishim. What he did was he collected from each shevet 50. What's 50 times 12? 600. Change sheish meyos. Together it's 600. That's how you reconcile the 50 and the 600. Rabbi says, no, there were two purchases. First, he bought Bakar Eitzim and the Makom HaMizbeach Benun. And the rest, he paid 600 for. And how do we know that? How do we know that he didn't just buy the bayis, he didn't just buy the land, but he bought Bakar Eitzim? Because the pasuk says, Vayoymer Aravna El David. Yikach v'yal Adoni HaMelech HaTov be'enav re'ei habakar lo'oilo v'hamoyrigim ukli habakar le'etzim. It says clearly that he didn't just buy the parcel of land. He bought the bakar, the moyrigim, the kli habakar le'etzim. See, he bought more, and that's the beer, all these different tanam. They're reconciling the steer. Was it 50 or was it 600? Different way. But what's the bottom line? What do you see from here? One of the tanam mentioned is Rav Elazar ben Shammua. Rav Elazar Shammua clearly said, I mean, it's a pasuk that he bought the bakar, the etzim, and the makom mizbeach. And when it says he bought the Eitzim, what did he buy? He bought the clay habakar le Eitzim. He took a Ravna's clay, he took his tools, and he used that as the Eitzim. I thought Rabbi Lazim Shemu was the one that said that you have to have Eitzim Chadati, that just like the Mizbeach has to be new, fresh, so too the Eitzim have to be fresh as well. Must be there's a chilik between a Mizbeach and a Bama. So how could Rava have told his Talmidim, who were going to help, they were going to guide Imidish from Malka to bring this carbon, make sure you take Eitzim Chadati, presumably based on Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Lazman Shmuel's halacha, that says that just like the Mizbeach had to be Chadash, so too the Eitzim had to be Chadati as well. Rabbi Lazman Shmuel himself seemed to say that that's only true on the Mizbeach, not on Obama. Because when David HaMelech brought Karbanos on Obama, David HaMelech bought the Kli HaBakar from Arnon, and he used that to go use as the Eitzim. The Kli HaBakar were recycled. They had been used already. It wasn't new. So you see, there's a chilik between the Mizbeach and the Bama. So that's the Gemara. Rabbi Amar B'Chahasim Nami B'Chadati. Who said it wasn't new? Maybe he took brand new Kli HaBakar. He didn't use Kli HaBakar that was used. He used Kli HaBakar that was new. My Moirigim. One of the things that he sold him, Aravna did, was the Moirigim. What are these Moirigim? Amar Ula Mita Shal Turbal. Okay. My Mita Shal Turbal. Amar Abaya. Iza the Karkas of the Taichan Dishai. So this is some sort of tool that was used for threshing. It had teeth like the teeth of a goat. Either way, it's like some wooden goat. That's the literal translation. How do you know that? It's a puzzle. So you see, we refer to this moirig as charutz It's able to make holes. Bao pipiyos. It has teeth. Makrile Rava the brave. Rami le kra hadadi. Rava was once learning with his son, and he asked the same steer. Ksiv, it says vayiten David the arna. Viksiv vayiken David. Okay, it said, was it 50 or was it 600? So he told him goyim mekol sheve sheve chamishim shein sheish meyos. He said the first pshat that the Gemara brought. He took 50 from each shevet, and it was together that it was 600. Oh, but frek the Gemara vakati kashen ahadadi. There's still a steer because hasim kesef hachazav. One pasuk says it was kesef silver. The other pasuk was zav. It's a big difference between 50 shkalim of kesef and 50 shkalim of zav. Elahachi koma goyve kesef. He took kesef, but it was bemishkal sheish meyos zav. So it was more expensive. So what it paid, what it cost was 600 zav. But when he collected it, he didn't make people give Zav, so the currency they were giving was Kesef. But as far as the value of the Kesef, it had to add up to Sheish Meyos Zav.